Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis chapter 10 is where we're at in the chronological order of going through the book of Genesis. And trying to go chapter by chapter, and I will tell you that some chapters are a little bit more difficult to find a three-point outline in a poem. And this was one of those chapters. But I did find some interesting things that I would like to share with you this evening. And so if I had a title for this sermon, it would be, What's in a Name? What's in a Name? Genesis chapter 10. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah: Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood: the sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madia, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, Tyrus; the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Riphath, Togarmah; the sons of Zavon, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, Dodonim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided into their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families and their nations. Now you know why it was a difficult passage of scripture. The sons of Ham: Cush, and Mizraim, and Phut, and Canaan. And the sons of Cush: Sheba, and Havilah, and Sabtah, and Ramah, and Shabbekah. And the sons of Ramah: Sheba, and Dedan. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be mighty on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of the kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, and the land of Shinar. Out of the land went forth Asher, and builded Nineveh, and the city of Raboth, and Calah, and Resen between Nineveh and Calah, the same as the great city. And Mizraim begat Ludim, and Ananim, and Lehabim, and Naphtalim, and Pathrasim, and Casluim. How you doing down there, Jennifer? Hey, just make it up. I am. That's right. It's okay. The same as a great city. And Mizraim and begat Ludim and Ananim and Lehabim and Naphtuim and Pathrasim and Casluim, out of whom came the Philistine, or the Philistines, and Kathtorim. And Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Akarites and the Sinites and the Avarites and the Zemarites and the Hamathites. Afterwards were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. And the border of the Canaanites were from Sidon, as thou comest to Gera, unto Gaza, as thou goest unto Sodom, and Gomorrah, and Admah, and Zebulun, and even unto Lash. These are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, and their countries, and in their nations. Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. And the children of Shem: Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, Aram. And the children of Aram: Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Mash. And Arphaxad begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber, and Eber were born two sons. The name was Peleg, for in his day was the earth divided. And his brother's name was Joktan. Joktan begat Almadad, and Shelup, and Hazarmaveth, and Zerah, and Hadaram, and Uzal, and Dikla, and Obo, and Abimiel, and Sheba, and Orpher, and Havilah, and Joba. All these were the sons of Joktan, and their dwelling was from Mesha, as thou goest unto Sepher, a mount of the cast, of the east, excuse me. These are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, and their lands, after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, after their generations and their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Now you might think, wow, yeah, you're right. I can see how you could have a hard time finding 3 points in a poem out of all of that. But you know, there are some interesting things that I would like to share with you this evening concerning the sons of Noah. What's in a name? This evening I want us to figure out what our name's going to be. What's the children of Nathan, summer, autumn, winter, Brandon, going to be? What's the children of Bob, Nathan, Joshua, Anna, Jonathan, going to be? What's your legacy? What about your children and your children's children? These are the children of Noah. We're going to find some interesting things. I'm going to show you some really neat facts that probably you didn't even realize. But what's in a name? Father, help me this evening. Certainly a different style of sermon, different type of sermon. But I pray that you'll give me wisdom. We ask for your Holy Spirit to lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I preached a message this morning, and I think this is great. Wanting the favor of God. Do you want the favor of God? So I'm done with the sermon, and Glenn comes up to me and says, your wife called me, didn't want to call you before preaching, which I appreciate. And he said, your roof's leaking at the house. Favor with God. So I'm driving home thinking, well, God, you and me are good friends, so help me out. I don't know what to do. I know I have a lot of people that would help me. So I'm driving up, and I pull up, and I look, and it looks like the vent the wind has blown the vent thing to the cockeyed to the side. I might even be able to fix that. So I go on the roof. The miracle that we made it up there. Went on the roof, and I pulled that thing off, and do you know that thing is stuffed with lint? Ooh. I think that's probably one of the number one causes of hires in the house, isn't it? Favor of God. Favor of God. So I'm up there with a coat hanger because I don't know what to do. Stuffing that stuff, trying to pull that stuff out. You know, not everything, when you say the favor of God, is beds of roses and, you know. I just want you to know God cares. He's looking out for you. He's looking out for me too. And that was appropriate. Because the devil wants me to think that God doesn't care about me. And the same thing the devil wants you to think about too. That he doesn't care about, that God doesn't care about you. But he does. And for every temptation, God has given you a test. And for every heartache and trial, there's going to be roses. There's going to be lilies. The lilies are in the valley. And so I might have some more bad news tonight when I get home, but my prayer is that I can find the favor of God. And I don't want you to think that your life has to be a bed of roses. I was afraid when I was leaving this morning, going home, I said, dear God, I just don't know if I communicate. I want to brag on Him. That's what I want to brag on. How awesome He is and how wonderful He is. And He wants the same for you as He wants for me. And He wants us to enjoy life. And so when I got home and I got on that roof in the rain, and I said, dear God, it's raining. Can you kind of let it quit raining? So I got on the roof and it wasn't raining that hard. Just a little drizzle. And I got that cap off, put that cap back on, looked down there and got my flashlight and full of lint. I said, well, God, thank you. Because when I said lint in the thing, you all went, I guess that's a bad thing. So I just want to say thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Could have been a hole in the chimney. Could have been a hole in the roof. Could all be worse, couldn't it? But anyhow, it was free. It didn't cost you anything. So here we have three sons, Japheth, Ham, and Shem. We're going to talk about Japheth first, and Japheth is pretty simple. Japheth very well, or most likely, is our great-great-great-grandfather. Most likely, he and his ancestors inhabited Europe. So that's most likely you and I. That's the Gentiles, the lineage of Japheth. Pretty good lineage. I'm thankful for what God has allowed my ancestors to do and your ancestors to do. This great country that God has used for the furtherance of the gospel around the world. I'm thankful for that. Modern missions, worldwide missions because of America. Millions and millions and millions of people saved because of the people of America and our ancestors that brought forth this great country. We even have a Filipino missionary here tonight studying in America so that he can go back and tell his people about Jesus. I think that's remarkable. I'm thankful. What's in a name? I'm thankful for that heritage. I'm proud and thankful to be an American. But then there's the other son. See, look how quick we're going through. Number two, Ham. We did a study on Ham a few weeks ago and maybe a month ago now, and we know that Ham did something that he shouldn't have done, and God cursed Ham's children. So let's just look at two notable descendants of Ham. The first one that comes to mind, because we're going through a bunch of names, and then we get to this guy named Nimrod. Nimrod. You know, there's not a lot said here about Nimrod, and so we're not exactly sure who he was or what he did. Matthew Henry said he was a tyrant to men and a rebel to God. Though the words are not definite, Clark said, it is very likely he was a very bad man. His name Nimrod comes from Marad, which means he rebelled. He was of the heart and mindset of those that were before the flood. The whole reason that God destroyed the earth was because of people like Nimrod. And Nimrod spent his life conquering. He was a great hunter before the Lord. And he spent his life conquering people and making cities. An indication of him, although we don't know much about him and it's not 100% definite, he rebelled and conquered and built cities. Some of the cities that he built were Nineveh, which was a wicked city. Kaslim, people from Egypt. And we all know what the word, we know what Egypt stands for in the Bible. It's a picture of the world. And then Philistim, or the Philistines. These are the children of Ham. Then there's this other guy. Now, here's the thing. Most men would say, boy, I'm glad that my son's Nimrod. He was tough. And you know, we men, we want our boys to be tough, don't we? We do. We want them to be tough. Here's the problem. Sometimes we sacrifice and we make our boys tough, but yet we also make them godless. And I don't want my son Brandon to be tough and godless. I don't want him to be a sissy, but I certainly don't want him to be godless. And the world would look at Nimrod and say, man, that's a man's man right there. But Nimrod was a godless man. He might have been tough. He might have been macho. He might have walked into the room and demanded everybody's respect because of what he could do with his pinky. But he was godless. And I think that sometimes we have some misconceptions about what a man is. We watch television and we think that that's a man. Or this tough guy over here, or this football player over here is a man. We think that this guy, because he can bench press so much, he's a man. Or this guy is a master in martial arts, he's a man. Hey, standing for Christ, that'll be more of a man than any of those people would be. Taking a stand, young men, taking a stand for Christ will be more of a man than Chuck Norris. And we all know Chuck Norris is tough. I don't mind people studying different techniques of martial arts and lifting weights or exercising and trying to be strong and trying to better themselves. I don't mind that. It profits a little. But I would rather you be godly. I want my son to be godly. I want to be godly. Nimrod was tough. Nimrod was a mighty hunter before the Lord, it says. His name means he rebelled. And it gives us the indication from all the cities that came after him that he wasn't a very godly man. So what's in a name? We have this other son, Canaan. A lot of people the Israelites would have to defeat to take the promised land was from Canaan. His land covered from Sidon all the way down, which is the southern part of Lebanon, all the way down to Sodom and Gomorrah, which many people believe is located where the Dead Sea is located now. And when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah back in the Bible day, and remember, she turned around, Lot's wife turned around and turned into a pillar of salt, they believe that Sodom and Gomorrah was located near the Dead Sea. And the reason that the Dead Sea is so salty and the reason the Dead Sea is what it is today is because that was pretty much the location of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God destroyed it with fire. They can't find Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroyed it. There's a good reason. And then when Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt, just because she looked, a lot of people believe that that is why the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea, because it seems not to get any higher, but it still keeps its salty buoyancy. It's pretty remarkable. Nothing lives in the Dead Sea. But we know that the children of Israel, when they were going into the promised land, the land of Canaan, they had to fight all of these children of Ham. So what's in a name? So let's talk about the last name, Shem. Shem's son. Two notables that I'll point out. Uz. I find Uz interesting because I remember when I read the book of Job, there was a man from the land of Uz, and Job was from Uz, and so we have Job being from the descendant, I guess, of Uz, or at least lived where Uz is from, so I find that interesting. And then there's this guy named Peleg. No, it's not Pele, that's a soccer player, a really, really good soccer player, number 10, played for Brazil. But this is Peleg. Peleg. And it says in verse number 25, and unto Eber was born two sons. The name of one was Peleg. And God felt it necessary for us to know that for in his days was the earth divided. The land was divided among the sons of Noah. We're not sure exactly what the word division here is. We're not 100% sure. What does divided mean? In the Peleg, the land was divided. Does that mean that it was divided amongst Noah's children? The land was divided here, Shem, this is your part. Here, Ham, this is your part. Here, Japheth, this is your part. Possibly. A lot of commentators think that that means it was divided per child. This passage of Scripture talks about a lot of the division. And that's a very plausible explanation. But here's the other explanation. I like this one. Mark, if you got that map. Do we have that map? Do you notice the world here? This is the United, this is the world, if you didn't recognize that. Do you notice how it fits together? Do you notice that if you take this continent and this continent and you kind of slide it together, it pretty much fits pretty good? Well, it is believed that before the flood, that the land was all together. And after the flood, it started to break apart and the lands started to get divided. Maybe the water started to fill up, and we're not exactly sure. But it could be that the lands literally divided and we started seeing the waters regulate and the seas growing and dispensating and the lands were shaken. I don't know. I just have always wondered, and I always thought how unique that the lands kind of fit together. Which would make sense with also the ice age of having animals being able to cross over on ice bridges, but also would make sense that animals, while the land was dividing, people and animals could also be upon that land. And how did we get deer in America when the ark was over on Ararat? Well, they had to migrate. And it could be they didn't have to migrate nearly as far as we think if they migrated just on this continent while the land was divided. But the Bible does tell us that the land was divided in Peleg's time. What's in a name? I'm going to give you some great perception of the life of Shem. Mark, go ahead and put up that timeline. Look at this. If you can't see this, the top line says Noah. See Noah? The top red one is the life of Noah. Noah lived to be 950-some years of age. If you go straight down, do you see the second to the last red one, which the purple one's the last one, but the red one, that's the life of Abraham. Do you realize that Abraham was born while Noah was still alive? Did you know that Abraham could go talk to Noah? Here's an interesting thing to me as well. Shem, Noah's great-grandfather times nine, outlived Noah, or outlived Abraham. If you look there, the second one is the green one. That's Shem's life. Shem lived to be 602 years old. Abraham lived to be 175. Shem outlived Abraham by several years. And can you imagine going up to Shem and saying, what was it like to be on the ark? Well, it was bumpy. How'd the animals do? And that just gives you a concept of, we think that Noah was way over here in the Bible, and Abraham was way over here, and they kind of coexisted. And so, what's in a name? Three generations that we learn from this evening. Japheth, that's our ancestor. Then Ham. Ham had some toughness, but he had some godlessness as well. And then there's the children of Shem. Of course, the children of Shem is the lineage for which Christ came from. Do we have a godly heritage? If 1,000 years from now, your history is recorded on earth, and somebody was studying your life, what's your legacy? That's what I got out of chapter 10. There was a lot of names. I was trying to figure out what could I get out, but there was a couple of things that God gave us in that chapter to say, hey, you better look at your legacy. You better look at your name. Some, you're first generation Christians. And you're starting your legacy. My dad was a first generation Christian. That makes me a second generation Christian. My dad started our legacy. And so you can start anywhere you want. You can start if you haven't gotten one. You say, well, I don't have one. You can start one. If you do have a godly legacy, that doesn't mean you're going to end up always being godly. So what you and I need to do is we need to seek the face of God. And we need to follow His leading and His teachings. And rear our children the Bible way. Protect our children and you older adults, your grandchildren. We find that legacy is important, as you can see. Abraham got to meet all of his great-grandparents or grandfathers all the way up to Noah. It's pretty remarkable to me. Now, that's what I got out of chapter 10. So the question is, what's in a name? What's your name known for? I remember Jerry Savinsky talking and saying, hey, we had some kids that we grew up with and their nickname stuck with them, and to this day, 50 years later or whatever, to this day they're still known as that nickname. We were driving down Turkey Hollow, and he said, if I were to say the name, and he gave us the lady's name, All my friends would say, "Oh, you mean the," and he would, and they would call her not a very appropriate name, because that was her legacy. What's in a name? A lot. What's your name? What's your name to your neighbors? Is your name mud to your neighbors? Huh? Can't stand our neighbor. Is that your heritage? Is that your name? Your neighbors don't like you? What's your name at work? Troublemaker? Mouth? Liar? What's your name to your family? Godly? Kind? Sweet-spirited? There are people that I could name them by names. I said, "You know what? I've never, you know," I was talking, preached Linda Bell's funeral. "You know, in all the years that I've known Linda, I'd never heard her ever say one negative thing about anyone, ever." That's a legacy. Now, you can't say that about me, because I've said negative things about people. But I never heard her complain, not one time when she was entirely sick, not once. And I bragged about that at her funeral. I said, "I'd never heard her complain, not one time." Pastor Walls, when he preached his funerals, he's very honest about things. And if he can say this, he'll say this. He'll say, "So-and-so lays here. I was their pastor for 30 years. And I want you to know in 30 years, that person never caused me one second of trouble." That's a legacy. That's a legacy. Weren't a troublemaker. Hey, what's in a name? You're known for something. Peleg was known for the country being divided. Nimrod was known for being a mighty hunter, and his name means rebel. Canaan, man, the land of Canaan, milk and honey, but boy, they had to fight for that. What's in a name? Maybe you're here this evening and you're not saved. I want you to know the best name that you can get is Christian. Be called the children of the Son of God or the daughter of God. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, then why don't you trust the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, and He'll save you from your sins.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.